continuing and finishing up our series as a part of the new year on seeking God's wisdom for body, mind, and spirit. Renew. I am always aware of sort of the little angels around Trinity who are doing many, many things. And I just noticed this morning that John Froberg had renewed, refinished, actually, the top of the altar table. So if you have a chance, come and look at it. And then we have more light here in the sanctuary, thanks to Bob Dean. And if anybody's been out in the parking lot at night recently, you may have also noted that, thanks to Bob Dean and John Froberg, we have more light out there. So God said, let there be light, and Bob Dean and John Froberg attended to that. So we are thankful. Amen to that? Yeah. There are many others I am not naming, I know, but I just wanted to lift up those that I'm aware of today. So as we seek to be renewed, body, mind, and spirit, let us be in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we ask that the words of my mouth, and we ask that the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So maybe you've heard or seen the new series on Netflix, if you're a Netflix fan. It came on at the beginning of the new year, debuted, called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Anybody watching that? If you're not, I'll tell you a little bit about it. In the show, Kondo teaches viewers about her famous KonMari method, which is this organizational strategy for basically tidying up your house. And she has a best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So the strategy involves getting rid of the items in your home, according to her, that do not spark joy. The KonMari method encourages tidying up by category. So you start with clothes, not by room. Some of us may have done this in cleaning out homes and go from room to room, but she does it by category. So you start with clothes, and then you go to books, papers, and then what she calls miscellaneous items, which to me seems like a really big category. Kitchen, bathroom, garage, basement. Are you overwhelmed yet? And finally, she gets to sentimental items like photos and mementos and things purchased on family trips. And she says, keep only those things that speak to the heart and discard items that no longer spark joy. Thank them for their service, she says, and then let them go. So for some of you, this might sound a bit corny, right? Like, really? I'm just shoving everything into a plastic bag and getting it out of my house and putting it in the trunk. Goodwill, here I come. Kondo is not Christian. She has a different spirituality. But the intentionality, love, and care she shows, as I watched one of the episodes, she walks into a house, and it's inspiring because we all know that tidying up, of course, is not just about our stuff. One episode features a couple who in the end is less stressed. They have children, young children, and they feel less stressed, they say, when they have some order in their lives and better able to communicate their love to one another. Another episode tells about a widow whose husband has been gone for several years and died a few years ago, and she's tearing up as she opens up the closet that is filled with all of his clothes. Her three children are grown and out of the house, and she goes into one room as she's showing Marie around the house and opens the door, and she said, well, this is one of the rooms my children lived in growing up. I've been here 30 years, and there are boxes everywhere. And she laughs, and she says, we just keep this door shut. Over this past year, I was remembering this as I was watching the show. I'm remembering how many of our wise elders here at Trinity and some of your loved ones we've buried over this past year. And some of you children and spouses have talked about what it means to look at the task ahead of sifting through some of those things that are left behind. And you've heard the adage, you can't take it with you, which we know is true. And that's, of course, where things get spiritual. Because regardless of the state of our house or our desk or our kitchen cabinets, there is a deeper calling from God in the midst of all the craze about tidying up and keeping things neat. There's a deeper call from God, isn't there, about renewal of the soul. a tidying up of the soul, if you will, going through the rooms of our heart, sorting through perhaps what is still useful and what needs to be recycled, starting with the rooms in our heart where we might feel most comfortable, and then getting behind, God calls us, to get behind every closed and locked door, walled off for some people not to see at least, perhaps for no one to see. The psalmist says to us, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So for Christians, there are two parts, really, to this renewal of the spirit, this cleaning out of the soul's house. For some of you going through difficult circumstances right now in your life, spring cleaning of the soul is not what you need to be doing. What you need is hope. Hope that God will indeed do a new thing within you, with your family, whatever it is that's going on. And so for you, maybe the surrendering of your difficult life circumstances, your suffering to God, is what needs to happen for you to be renewed and to not attempt to handle that suffering on your own. John Medders, in his book Desiring God, says, when we act like we can handle our suffering on our own, we actually commit idolatry, acting like we're God, capable in and of ourselves. But lamenting is admitting that we can't handle it. So renewing ourselves and knowing that we need God's grace and God's power and God's mercy. If we could handle our sufferings, after all, he says, we wouldn't need Jesus or his cross or his power and his resurrection. Lamenting is how we grieve as those who have hope. So renewal, that first step in our lives, is in the most trying circumstances of our lives can seem sort of far and distant. Like we don't feel like God is really doing a new thing when we're in the midst of suffering. But this we call to mind in this next slide here. And therefore we have hope is what the Book of Lamentations tells us. And I want you to remember that in the Book of Lamentations, most of what we read in that very short book is actually deep grief and deep pain. And in the middle of all that deep grief and deep pain comes these words of hope. It's really amazing to think about, but you think about circumstances in your life that have been particularly difficult. Still, the writer says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The second part of the renewal of the Spirit is what God does. It is the grace of God, and it cannot be earned or worked towards. It just is. God is always doing a new thing, but do we see it? And that new thing may be a hard thing. It may be that through the grace of God, we feel called to reopen old emotional wounds because they were never fully healed. It may be that in cleaning out our souls, we find things we need to repent of so that we can be free to live as a new creation. And the work that we do to make space for God, to renew our spirit, and it is work, or sort of a spiritual discipline, as you may want to call it. We might feel nudges, for instance, from time to time to make more time for morning prayer, or to join a Bible class, or to volunteer at PADS, or whatever it may be. For some of us, it may be to do less, so that we have the space to see more clearly how God is leading us and what God desires for us in our life. So the two parts of this renewal work sort of work together, sort of like cleaning windows on a bright sunny day. If you've ever cleaned windows on a cloudy day and the next day woken up and the sun is shining, you know that you see some of the work that you missed. And so as we think about spiritual renewal, you might think about the fact that cleaning the windows is good no matter what the weather is, but when the sun shines in, you see more clearly the work you have to do. To be renewed body, mind, and spirit is not easy. As we see here in this passage from Lamentations, it comes in the midst of pain. It can come in the midst of hopeful times. It can come in the midst of difficult times. I want to introduce you to one tool that might be helpful for you as you think about what it means to be renewed. And it's the prayer of examine. Some of you come from Catholic backgrounds, and I know some of you are married to Catholics, and we have some Catholics among us even now. And there are lots of tools from those spiritual traditions that we can draw from. And one tool that I have taken to heart and used in my own life is called the prayer of examine. It's from the Ignatian tradition. And it's a wonderful way to just let God into your heart and sort of examine what's going on in such a way every evening, or you can do it in the morning, but it's best sort of at the end of the day. And a good way to remember the steps, and I'll be happy to email these to you, is like this. They all begin with R. So as you're relishing and thinking over the day, at the end of the day, you could think about it like this. To relish the moments that went well. Think through your day and think about the moments that went well and all the gifts that you have received on a particular day. To request that the Spirit lead you through sort of reviewing your day. So maybe starting with breakfast or before breakfast, noon, afternoon, evening. And to review that day. To repent of any mistakes or failures. And remember, to repent means literally to turn away from all that keeps you from sharing and knowing God's love, and to turn toward God's love, and to resolve in concrete ways to do things differently the next day. I love this. It's a reminder that God is always calling us to be renewed. And perhaps no organization besides the church does so well at understanding what it means to be renewed body, mind, and soul than Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not here today to talk specifically or be preachy about alcohol. At some point, we'll have more conversation about what United Methodists believe and the place of alcohol and other addictions in our lives. In and of itself, I enjoy a glass of wine every now and then too. But what I am here to say is that everything is spiritual. And when we think about our life and what it means to be renewed, what you and I do matters in the privacy of our homes, late at night, midday on a winter day. What we do matters to God. And that God uses everything, including the rock bottom of alcoholism and other addictions, to draw us back to Jesus. I joke about my love of coffee sometimes. But I fully recognize that I may be addicted to a socially acceptable drug, which is caffeine. A dear friend of mine has recently decided to attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, actually, and she's a deeply faithful Christian. And she told me that the meetings she has attended have felt more honest than anything she's heard in church, which is probably something we can learn from. And one of the things she told me she's learned from Al-Anon is that we cannot do this alone. We cannot do this alone. That sounds like something we can learn and already know at church, too. You may not know all the history behind the founding of AA, but it seems that there was an unplanned meeting in Akron, Ohio, way back in 1935 between the future founders of AA, both of whom were termed hopeless alcoholics. And they began this program of recovery. Bill Wilson, or Bill W. in AA language, not using the last name, was a stockbroker from New York, and he was one of those men. And in fighting his own battle against drinking, he had already learned that helping other alcoholics was the key to his success and to maintaining his own sobriety. One night after this exhausting meeting, a work meeting they'd had in Akron, Ohio, he found himself just feeling really alone and depressed, and he went down to the hotel bar there, and he felt drawn to it, but he was fighting desperately to maintain his sobriety. As he was sitting there, his immediate reaction was, "I have to find another alcoholic." And there are conflicting versions of what happened next, but the result was that he ended up meeting this Akron surgeon there at the bar or in the hotel, and they banded together eventually. Dr. Bob was his name, and this began a movement that would affect millions. But Bill Wilson, in a Christmas letter to Alcoholics Anonymous folks some years later in 1944, wrote this. He wrote, knowing its full worth and purpose, and he's writing about having your life hit rock bottom and the promise of new life. He wrote, knowing its full worth and purpose, we can no longer fear adversity. We can no longer fear adversity. We have found prosperity where there was poverty, and peace and joy have sprung out of the very midst of chaos. That same promise is one we claim as Christians. In our seeking of a new life in Christ, there will be work to do. There may be upheavals in our soul. There will be grief because that's a part of life. There will be disappointments. But there is, as we hear in Lamentations and as we hear from Jesus, there is promise even in the pain. There is an Easter after the Good Friday. There is life even in death. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. You may have heard that poet Mary Oliver died just about a week and a half ago. She was not necessarily a church person, but she had some things to say about spirituality. And she wrote one poem that talked a little bit about prayer. Sometimes we make prayer into too much, and we're almost afraid of it. And as we think about what it means to renew our souls, I invite you just to think about her words and what it might mean to allow God to speak to you about becoming new. She says this, just pay attention, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Are you listening with the ears of your heart? Are you looking for God with the eyes of your soul? Are you putting yourself in those places where God can indeed renew you, body, mind, and spirit? God is doing a new thing. Do you see it? Amen.